I'd like to look at a few verses in the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Chapter 7, John's Gospel, one verse there, verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. We know that doctrine is truth. Thy word is truth. The only way, it says here, that we're going to know what the truth is for us, for the pathway, is to do God's will. That's quite plain in this verse. It's the doing of His will in the pathway. How do we know His will? His word is truth. Read His word. And so we have the truth of what God would want us to do in His word that He has given to us. That'll explain to us what the will of God is for us. That's the only way you and I are going to be fruitful Christians. It's the only way that you and I are going to be happy Christians, contented Christians, Christians that are not fearful, and so on. Many attributes that go along with being obedient to the truth that God has given to us. A couple verses in the 8th chapter, verse 28. Jesus said unto them, disciples, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Well, we know that the Lord Jesus, as deity, as God manifested, didn't need to be taught anything. But He took on Himself manhood. He became a man. As a man, He humbled Himself in that capacity. And God taught Him things as a man. He learned things that He would never otherwise learn except becoming a man. But He didn't do anything through His own will, through His own reasoning or thoughts. He only did those things that God gave Him commandment to do. I do always those things pleasing to the Father. He was led through this scene down here by the Spirit of God that was in Him. He lived that way. Is not that the pattern for us? The Lord Jesus is not here now, but He has left you and I here. He has not left you and I here to exercise our own wills and things that we think is okay to do, and we leave out the truth, the guidance from the Word of God. The Lord Jesus, when He was here, He had the Spirit of God with Him. The Father was with Him. And today, you and I, He's left us here, and what has He given to us? He's given to us the Holy Spirit that was sent down the day of Pentecost to guide us. We're not left to guide ourselves, but God has given to us His Spirit to guide us and to lead us into all truth, not to be determined by our own minds, our own wills, our own thoughts, but the truth of God guide us. It says there in John 8, He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, but I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When I was first saved, I had many questions, many things that I had doubts about. And they were burdens to me. You know, a lot of times I had peace about things. And it really took a lot of, as a brother mentioned, studying. And it really took a lot of digging in to the Word of God. It took a lot of prayer. And oftentimes I didn't listen, and I reasoned things out and did things my own way, and the Lord was very gentle, but he wouldn't let me pursue that course. He brought in things to correct me and keep me on the straight and narrow way, the way that he had designed for me. But it's very easy for us to get distracted and start to reason for ourselves and come up with our own ideas, even in spiritual things. And so it's very important, if you don't know the answer to something in the Word of God, to a brother mentioned J.N. Darby, there's plenty of writers that can give good insight into spiritual truth so that we get the right interpretation of it. So it's very important. Goes on to say here that the Son, therefore, in verse 36, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so it's a wonderful thing to be set at liberty by God and his saints, to have peace about those things, to not go around with our heads down in despair and questioning and not knowing. We have the ability, and God is very gracious to open up his word to us so that we are set free from any kind of difficulty that we might have, a burden or an obstacle that might be in the way. I'm not talking about prayer today necessarily in this little talk, but prayer enters into everything that we do, and so valuable. Yesterday on the way up here with my brother Dick Amstead, we come to a toll booth, and I don't have E-Pass. I'm from Canada, so I don't have that on my vehicle. And so I was coming into Albany, New York there. And I got over on the Easy Pass lane. I couldn't get out of it again. I was stuck there because heavy traffic. And so I just went through. And I knew from being down here before that when I got around Albany on the other side and went on to 88, there was another toll booth where you had to pay. So I prayed about that and asked the Lord if he'd help me with it. And we drove around Albany, and I come to the booth, and she said, have you got your ticket? Well, I said, no, I don't have my ticket. I said, I got stuck in the wrong lane, an easy pass, and I couldn't get over on the other one. I had to just keep going. Well, she gave me a slip. She said, well, she said, this one's on us. It's a free toll. She handed me a slip of paper, and she said, if you get something in the mail, say to Satan that you withdrew the toll, just put it in an envelope, this slip of paper, and send it back, and there'll be no problem. It's just an indication how the Lord works. And if you want to trust Him for the little things as well as the bigger things, the Lord is very capable of looking after our little problems as well as the big problems. I'd just like to look at a couple more verses in John 17. I've enjoyed so much the Lord's Prayer, and all everyone here probably has too. It's a wonderful prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed to God for us. He had gone back to glory. He's there now, interceding for us, being our advocate, doing so much there at the throne of grace. But he left His Spirit here with us. And God is working in each one of us that we might be more conformed to the image of His beloved Son. It says here in verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. And all are mine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Isn't that wonderful? I kept them in Thy name. The Lord Jesus has gone back to glory. There was no name more that the Lord Jesus spoke of than His Father, God His Father, when He was here. And you know, He's there in glory now. He's our Savior, the head of a new race of men, which includes everyone here that have their trust in Him. And He's there and He's making intercession for us, but isn't it wonderful that we can cherish that name? You know, the Lord Jesus here, He spoke of His Father's name. His name, wonderful name, God, Jehovah. But God opened the heavens, didn't He? And He says, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. There's no other name that God is more proud of, contented with, satisfied with, than the precious name of His beloved Son. Brother spoke of, you know, some Christians today, they just feel that it's okay to go anywhere at all. There's other believers there. I know other believers from different denominations. I can enjoy their company. I speak to them of the Lord to a certain point. But you know, when I come together for worship on Lord's Day, I'm so happy that the Lord has given me to see that it's a name, His worthy name, that I'm invited to be around. The Lord Jesus Himself promised to be there in the midst, where His name is honored. And I'm so happy to be there in that place. And I feel His presence there. If I was to go to someplace else, there's a name that indicates that it's another group meeting independently of the name of Christ. They're taking another name that's independent of His name. And the Lord Jesus isn't the center of that group. They have a name and they have a perhaps principles that they're gathering around. And it's those principles maybe that hold that group together. But what holds the gathered saints together is the name of Christ. He's there in the midst. If the Lord Jesus wasn't in our midst, there wouldn't be a lot to attract us, perhaps. You know? But when we come together and we see Him by faith there in our midst, isn't that what keeps us there? I know it is with me. And so, it's a wonderful name. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that I may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. When the Lord Jesus was in the world, he kept his disciples in the name of God the Father. But now that he's gone back, he keeps us centered around his beloved Son. That's a place that he has marked out for us to be. It's not a physical place, but it's a person that we're attracted to. Now we go on in verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. The Lord Jesus was here, and he was doing his Father's will. He was here drawing souls to the Father to bring them to God from the darkness that they were in so they could have faith. When the Lord Jesus went back to glory, he left us here. But we have something even that the Lord Jesus didn't have when he was here as a man. He had the gospel, really, of the kingdom, to repent, enter into the kingdom, to recognize who he was, the Messiah, the Son of God. But we have the gospel of God's grace through the work of his Son at Calvary's cross. We have been left here to spread that good news out to the world, to attract souls to God. That's each individual that's here, my responsibility, and each one that's here to do this. And so the world is looking at us individually. Wherever we work or in school, whatever we do, eyes are upon us. And so we are able, with the help of the Lord Jesus, the help of God, to attract souls in this day of grace to himself. There's a verse there that, verse 21 there that I read, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know, the Lord Jesus could say when he was here, I and my Father are one. It says here, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they may be one. Just as the Father and the Son were one. That they may be one. That you and I together We are one in Christ. We're all in the body of Christ as believers. Think what a world this would be if we were all really, truly exhibiting this oneness to the world. Just like the Lord Jesus did when he was here displaying to the world the oneness that he had with God. I and my Father are one. How the Lord Jesus manifested that out to the world. And this is what he wants from us, to manifest that oneness out into the world. And so it speaks to my own soul how short that I come in doing this. We have so many differences in personalities and everything, and oftentimes we get distracted on those things instead of improving, encouraging one another, and to go on for the Lord as one purpose. And so that verse stands out to me. They may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And so speaking of the testimony there of that oneness to the world. And just in closing, verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So that same love that the Lord Jesus had for his Father that led him to the cross of Calvary, that love should be in us. Not just individually, but collectively as well. I hope these few thoughts may encourage souls here that has done for me. I'll leave it there.